What's up, guys? Faruqi Bros here, back with another stream. And today for you guys, we're going to be talking about a bunch of topics ranging from inside the movie sets to the bigger, wider picture and equity in pay. So it's going to be a full stream in and out of fandoms and real life consequences. So I'll be starting with the real stuff first. And we're going to be talking about the Hollywood SAG after strike. So basically, the Actors Guild of America went on strike just a month ago, month and a half ago. The Writers Guild went on strike. So this is the first time in almost, I think it was 60 years, if I have the right number in my head, that both the actors and the writers are on strike. The directors briefly went on strike, but they got their deal. So they're not in it, but the rest of them are in it. Basically what that means is that for all intended purposes, Hollywood's at a standstill right now. There's no movies being made. There's no movies being written. A lot of big name movies like Deadpool, Mission Impossible 8, I mean Dead Reckoning Part 2, and a couple of other movies just paused right now.
Even the Batman.
The Batman, yeah, and some other ones are just not coming out. What that means from promotion is that a lot of like movie premieres will have no actors pulling up. In fact, yesterday there was the Haunted Mansion premiere for Disney, and their way of doing it is just getting the Disney characters to show up in Disney World because no actors are pulling up. So it's a sad state of affairs. And what makes it worse is that Bob Iger, the CEO of Disney, made a point that this is very like a bad time for a strike to happen when he's making, you know, almost 400 times the salary that these other guys are making. And to be completely transparent, my heart more goes to the writers and the actors. A lot of the actors do make their money. I know for smaller actors, this is where it really comes into play. They're not getting the healthcare they want. They're not getting adequate pay. But I know the big guns are making their money regardless. So it's good that everyone's going on strike to show solidarity. And then just to make an unequivocal point, the Faruqi Bros are all pro strike here. I don't need to like even ask anyone. We're all pro. We won't. These movies don't really matter unless everyone's getting paid equally. It's not about, you know, consume one content and get ready for the next content. That's not what we're all about. So we support the strike, but basically, when do we, do you think, the question I have for you guys is, do you think we're going to get a smooth conclusion to this, or is this going to be dragged out for multiple months? Sam, what's your prediction?
I mean, I think it might be dragged out at least till the fall, maybe late August or September. I don't think the studio heads or the studios themselves are going to bow down too easily. Like you said, the opinion Bob Iger has is pretty much universal to what all the other studios probably do as well. He wouldn't come out and say this if he didn't internally have the support of them as well. And you make the point, like, he's making, I think, like 50 or 60X. But like somebody like David Zaslav, we saw the numbers came out, he's only making like 350X what like an actor would make, or like a writer or studio, I mean, like crew people would make. So it's like, the disparity is very great. And a lot of the claims and stuff they're making, not only with like the AI thing, that is a whole like moral ground, different thing where using somebody's likeness or their voice and just replicating AI, what does that mean? What are the implications of that? And then also the whole streaming thing, people are saying that the residuals aren't the same and it's much, much less pay for the streaming content based on what it used to be, where just movies or TV shows or DVDs and whatnot. So that's also hurting. And I think that it's fair that these actors, these writers, they should be fighting for their equal share in this, because the studios, they're just pumping out content day and night on now all these streaming platforms and other places. And if they're not giving the fair share to the people who are actually working hard and making these things, then why would they continue making, and what is it all about? So I think, obviously, like you said, we're all for the strike and hopefully it gets resolved soon. But the way I see it, I don't think they'll reach a compromise until maybe late August. You're muted right now.
Yeah, I said, Samir, I'm going to come to you with a different angle, because there's a different layer to this conversation happening also, where the studios are basically saying, hey, why don't we just AI these movies out? We'll just like AI the actors' faces, and then we'll just do whatever we need to do. And then with no, like in perpetuity, we own the rights to your face and your likeness. So I think you, because you're the most creative of the Faruqi Brothers, I think you have the most, I think you're the most anti-AI from us, if I'm not mistaken. So what do you think about this whole thing of like AI infiltrating Hollywood completely, not just from a writing level where like AI is writing scripts, but now, you know, once you get a couple of facial captures of these actors, we might get some AI movies coming out. I mean, what do you think
about that? And voice, yeah.
Yeah. That is the worst thing. That's the worst thing I've ever heard. And I don't even think it's I don't even think they could do it. Like they would obviously not be successful doing that. I think people can see just they can see the strike itself and how big the difference is between their wages and what they get from what they get out of the stock. What am I saying?
Yeah.
Hold on, let me think.
Think about it.
You talk. I don't know
what I'm saying. Yeah, I mean, I say, I mean, my thing, I'm just thinking it's crazy. It's like psychotic that there's like AI's like being used in that way. And I'm not like I'm curious about AI's potentials, but I think in anything related to art and anything related to creativity, it's a buzzkill in every single way. It should not be used. And the way the studios are like pushing it, there's been some pretty bad horror stories. There's been a background actor for a Marvel movie who said that they paid her $100 to just stand in the box, like get the full facial capture. And for the $100, they get to use that person in perpetuity forever as a background actor for all Marvel movies. So that means for every MCU TV show movie coming out, if you see some kind of big action scene where people are running away, this person paid $100 to sign away their likeness for the rest of their life. I mean, this is the future. And unfortunately, where they're going to be like, this is the way they're going to make it easier. So then the future need for background actors is none, because you already AI these actors. You can put them in. And, you know, not like motion capture wasn't a thing before, but the way they're using it right now is just crazy, man. Like, I don't know. It's not.
The thing is, yeah, I wouldn't put it past Disney, since they already used AI to do the opening for Secret Invasion and they got tons of backlash for it. And it was terrible. So many projects have taken a hit from these strikes that they have to make a deal. They can't use AI for everything.
Yeah, I wonder what the compromise is going to be, because like I'm not sure if the writers and actors get everything they want, and I'm not sure they're not going to. I mean, what I'm hearing, like the report from the Deadline or one of the things where it said that they're actually waiting out for the writers to starve. Like they're waiting for them to get evicted from their homes, waiting for them to lose their any semblance of their livelihood, and then they're going to come running back. So for them, they're like, we'll delay a couple of movies. We're playing the long game here. And they know the writers are going to crack, which is why while we cover the writer's strike, I feel like covering this part when the actors jump in, now you can bottleneck the studios in theory, because without the actors, you can make a case that whatever, they'll hire new writers, new whatever. Without the actors, what's going to happen? They're going to hire what, influencers? Are we going to get TikTok people acting? I mean, it's already happened, but like, is it happening more? So bro wants Sologram to become an actor. I mean, that's a deep cut. All right, so let's move from there. Let's actually talk about a film now that did release, and that's Tom Cruise's and Christopher McQuarrie's latest Mission Impossible. So Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning, I'll give my really quick like elevator review basically on it. And I thought the movie was quite good. I think it has all the bells and whistles that you expect from a Tom Cruise movie and from a Mission Impossible movie. I think the franchise it's crazy that it's survived 4 decades now. There's been a movie in the 90s, the 2000s, the 2010s, and now the 2020s. So it's lasted a long time. The quality's always been good. It's the definition of a summer blockbuster. Do I think it has the perfect polish that Mission Impossible Fallout did? No. Were there certain things that could have been done better? Yes. But at the same time, I think it's just like the right summer movie. And I think people are going to enjoy it. I think it's a really good family movie. Just going to go see some fun, see Tom Cruise doing some stunts. So I gave this movie a 4 out of 5. I was really good on it. But to answer the question, the prompt, is it the best Mission Impossible film? I don't think it's the best one. But who knows? Maybe Part 2 might be the best one. So that's my quick thoughts on Mission Impossible. Zian, I'm jumping to you next. What did you think about that movie?
I pretty much agree with all of your points. I think that it was just like a fun action movie that you can just see with the whole family or just like whatever. I think it's just fun for audience. Like you said, it's like a good summer movie, summer blockbuster that you expect, but it didn't really push the envelope in any way. It didn't really go there. It did touch upon some like good things where like of like past stuff and whatnot, story-wise, but I think there was overabundance of action over like a spy thriller, espionage, avenue they could have went instead. So I think for that reason, it did hinder it a little bit for me. But overall, it was still fun. I enjoyed the movie. Like you, I also gave it 4 out of 5. So I didn't think it was really, I don't think it was bad in any sense, but it's just much more action heavy than I would have liked it to be. Though I think maybe they might have loaded this with action more because the next one will be a little more grounded or more character driven, more espionage, more like, I don't want to say talking, but like, there's more dialogue and more of that kind of stuff. pushing the narrative rather than action. So I do think the second one has a better chance of the final film being a better chance of being the best Mission Impossible film, but this one I don't think was the best.
Samir, what about you? What do you make of Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning?
I feel like the movie was exactly what I would expect, just a Mission Impossible movie. I don't think there was anything too special about it. The one thing I don't like is how they handled the AI villain sort of thing. I mean, personally, I don't like this new wave of like fear of AI type movies that seem to be coming out. I mean, fear of technology has always been like a thing in movies. I just don't think it was handled too well in this. Especially the party scene when they're looking around and it's like, oh, this screen is the villain. It's like that was like the epitome of this is the villain. Like this, it's like that was that moment in the movie, and I just didn't like it. As far as compared to the other Mission Impossible movies, I don't think this was up there in the top three even, but it was all right.
Every Mission Impossible movie has that one main stunt, you know, whether he's climbing, you know, a skyscraper, or he's flying off of a plane, or the first movie had him, you know, dangling and doing the other stunt. So this one, he pretty much rides a motorcycle off of a cliff. And I thought the trailer, the way they showed the trailer for this movie of how they were doing it, was probably more interesting than the whole movie, which is crazy. But do you think, Zion, this stunt was like up there as one of his best ones? Like when it was happening, we were like, yo, this is the real deal.
Honestly, it is a lot like you said, what you said, when they're showing like the behind the scenes trailer, like before the movie came out, it made it seem much better. It was much more interesting to watch them, how they did it. But when I think about the other ones, I think the Fallouts was probably the best one of them, because especially it's circulating on Twitter right now too, like the behind the scenes of that, where they were jumping off the plane, like right at the edge of the atmosphere and whatnot. And like, it was much more complicated because the camera guy also had to do the same jump with Tom Cruise, but backwards, and like keep focus on him while the camera's on his head. And just the way they did it, I was like, this is like the most craziest stunt. And they pulled it up very well and it looked amazing, even in that behind the scenes clip that's going on right now. So I think that was probably just the best in the entire franchise. But even then, I think the skyscraper one just visually was also cooler. And then the plane was also visually just more cool to see. I think this one felt, though obviously the behind the scenes showed it was like, it's obviously a very dangerous stunt as well. And there was complicated things that surrounding it, it didn't visually on screen translate as cool as the other ones did. So I actually don't rate it as high.
Are you in the same boat with Zion there?
They marketed this stunt, like they marketed the movie around this stunt so much that it kind of overhyped it a little bit. Of course, it was dangerous, and Tom Cruise loves doing those stunts. But I don't even think it fit in the movie too well. Like, it felt like they just had to throw it in for the shock factor. Like,
yeah,
it was all right.
They had to create the whole circumstance around the scene first. You know, like, they're like, all right, we're going to do this action scene, like this jumping off scene, but now let's create some narrative to get him there, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And from an acting perspective, I think most of the cast did pretty well. I think Hayley Atwell, I think she's one of her bigger roles in her career, you know, after especially the Captain America stuff. So I think she did well deserved. I think Rebecca Ferguson's always great, though I feel maybe a little underutilized in this movie. Tom Cruise, like he is himself. Sometimes I forget he's even Ethan Hunt, like for me, just is Tom Cruise, you know? And then who else? Like Vanessa Kirby's great. And then the two sidekick characters are good too. Forgot the names. But but yeah, everyone did well. So I think that's we're all agreed here. 4 out of 5. None of us think it was like a masterpiece, but it was a good summer blockbuster. We're all there.
I'll let Samantha use 3.5.
Oh, you said 3.5? I forgot what you gave.
No, I gave it a 4, but I think it's closer to a 3.5 than to like a 4.5, you know.
Fair enough. So from there, let's keep moving. I mean, let's go from the world of Mission Impossible to the world of superheroes, because I want to talk about Hugh Jackman finally, you know, set photos officially released right before the strike. Though there are rumors, I'm going to put it out there, that Disney wanted to put these images out there so that when the movie gets halted and delayed. They could be like, it's all the strike's fault. But I don't think anyone's falling for that who's like, literate, but regardless, Ryan Reynolds, Hugh Jackman, I mean, this is something that I think if you told me 6 years ago after Logan came out that, yeah, this is going to happen one day, I would have been like, are you crazy? Like, that's not possible. But here we are. I mean, it's Hugh Jackman wearing the X-Men costume. Yeah, he's wearing sleeves, but, you know, it's all good. You know, so it's hard to not get cynical in an era where, like, everything is cynical about life. But, like, we got to tap into our childhood here. So, Zam, I'm going to go to you. And, like, this is kind of cool. I mean, I thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. It is pretty cool. And just seeing him in the costume for, like, the first time, like, an actual classic costume, because the last time was the second Wolverine movie where they show at the end, like the case or whatever, and the briefcase or something. I was like, oh, it's so close, you know, just like put it on for once. And now finally seeing this movie, I know it's obviously going to be more fun and more jokey and whatnot, but just seeing it, I think it looks cool, it looks fun, and I don't have a problem with it. I mean, in my head, like I count it part of Logan. I think Logan is just its own separate entity, and it's just obviously just something else is one of the best. But, like, I'm not even considering that. I'm not even thinking about that. Just this is Wolverine, this is Deadpool in the costumes. I think it looks sick.
Yeah, it's funny. Before I go to Samir, like, I'm not going to – obviously, there's things out there. I don't want to get into any spoilers. This movie's a long time away, and things can change a lot. So I'm not going to get into any of that. But just from official set photos and official things that Ryan Reynolds and Hugh Jackman themselves have said, this is not a what's the word that they use in the MCU? Variant. This is not a – Wolverine variant. Apparently he is a Wolverine directly from either Logan or X2 from the X-Men original trilogy. So
I mean, I don't know by his hair that he's
I don't know which one. Like, he's from the that era. He's not like, so basically what I'm saying is he is not just like a clone who looks just like Hugh Jackman. He is the Hugh Jackman Wolverine, you know? So and he's teaming up with these guys, and apparently this is going to be a huge love letter to the Fox universe and the Fox adjacent universe, because the Hollywood Reporter confirmed that Elektra is going to be in the movie. And obviously the elf in the room, which we've already talked about many times in this chat, on this stream, that Ben Affleck will also be returning as Daredevil. It's not been confirmed, but we basically know it. Like,
you can't have one without the other.
Yeah, he got offered the role quite early. And expect everyone, like, expect everyone from the X-Men universe. This is a goodbye to that franchise. This is a goodbye to the X-Men universe before the MCU launches with their own cast. So it's supposed to be a big, like, celebration movie. And I think that's kind of fun. I think I feel like it's going to be everything that Multiverse of Madness was trying to be, if that makes sense. But Samir, what did you think about the new costume for Wolverine?
I think the costume looks pretty good. I think it's been a long time coming, so I don't... I wouldn't mind the movie being extremely fan service, just everything. I mean, they did it with Deadpool 2 at the end, kind of comedy, fan service. So I feel like this will just be that, but on the most extreme level. And all the set photos look great. I haven't seen any set photos with him with the mask on. I hope they don't make it, like, too thick or something, like at the end. Like, when they teased the suit, it was kind of thick. I feel like if you put it on, it would look weird. But just him standing next to Deadpool is kind of surreal, I feel like.
It does. And I feel like of all the movies, this is the one time where you can go full fan service, because Deadpool allows that as a character. Like, most characters, you don't allow for extreme fan service. You got to keep it something grounded. But Deadpool, his whole job, like the set photo, I didn't put the set photos out there, but there's a set photo where they're fighting, and behind them is a 20th Century Fox, like, broken down logo. You can just imagine the jokes they're going to be pulling off. That, you know, like, Disney bought Fox, and now they're fighting, you know, at the last bastion of 20th Century Fox. Like, that's funny, and that's interesting.
I think maybe they're like, Disney hires Deadpool to kill the
heroes. You know, Fox, you know, Deadpool Kills the X-Men is a legit comic book, and it's a story that he does, you know? So maybe they've hired Deadpool, like the TVA hires him from Loki, you know? I feel like I heard the TVA is very involved in this, like they're going to connect to Loki a lot. You know, in fact, if Loki shows up, Loki and Deadpool would be interesting, like, pairing also to speak to each other, but whatever. I think this has the potential to be pretty funny. I mean, Fatman jumps in with a comment that I think is worth saying. Like, it either will really work or it's going to fail, you know? Like, so it can go either way. But like Samir said, like, it's such a fan service movie. Like, what can you do to fail it? Unless you're going to completely butcher the original universe. But even then, even if they completely destroyed the original X-Men universe, those movies still exist in their time frame. You just mentally not count it. Kind of like how the Flash people just don't count it, like, as part of the Snyderverse. Like, yeah, at the end of the movie, he's with George Clooney, but if you mentally see the Snyderverse ended at just Zack Snyder Justice League, then what does it matter, you know? So they can do whatever they want. But I think the who's who of faces will show up. I think anyone from the past is game to show up, so it's going to be fun to see everyone do their thing. So, yeah.
From as long as there's no very bad side character, like that one, like, Australian kid in Deadpool 2 is, like, the main character, whatever. I'm telling you, the movie got, like, worse because of that. As long as they keep it focused on Deadpool, Wolverine, and Deadpool and stuff, it'll be good.
I think it's safe to say we're getting a Wolverine-Deadpool buddy cop movie. That's, like, it's safe to say, but let's see how it goes, you know? Like, this fight scene, clearly, I mean, I don't have pictures of it, but the fight that they have in this point seems to be very first act, you know? Like, they're just fighting, and then we'll see, like, where the movie goes when it starts, like, evolve, you know, and become MCU-ified. So let's go from that to a quick look at the Wonka trailer, the Timothée Chalamet's new movie. He's leading it. Obviously, this is a W movie, right? Yeah. So W is very high on Chalamet, especially he's leading probably their most, like, prestigious franchise right now in Dune. So now he's doing Wonka. I mean, what do you guys think about Wonka? Smee, I'll go to you first. So what do you think about the Wonka trailer?
Wonka, I don't think it looks that bad. I think they're cooking something. It's kind of whimsical and quirky. I don't think Timothée Chalamet is doing too great with the role. I feel like you can tell he's acting like someone that's acting quirky and not being quirky. I don't know if that makes any sense. He looks okay. He looks good for the role, but the acting, I don't know. The trailer overall, it looks pretty good. I like the world building kind of thing, but it kind of reminds me of this Netflix movie, Jingle Jangle. You ever seen that movie?
I haven't seen Jingle Jangle, no.
Bro, it looks exactly like that movie, I swear. But it's pretty good. I hope they fix the CGI for the Oompa Loompas. It's like they're moving at a higher frame rate or something at the end of the trailer. Yeah. But overall, it looks okay.
Like, yeah, I don't have any problems with, like, the Johnny Depp version or the one before, like, the two movies. But I feel like this movie feels more production design heavy, which I prefer. Like, I feel like the 2000s movie with Johnny Depp was, like, a lot of CGI, so it seemed, like, a little messy, you know, like, but this one, I think, has a chance. I'm not sure the canon where it sits, like, that doesn't even matter, but I think it's akin to the original movie, the first 1974 movie, if not earlier, actually, but
it's not earlier than 75.
Yeah, so it's canon. I think it's a prequel to that guy. I've seen people on social media, and I tend to agree that, like, if Ezra Miller didn't have the troubles that, you know, they're having, I think that would have been excellent and just transition it for Wonka. But I think Timothy's an interesting role. I think it's a little out of his scope. It's a little out of his comfort zone, which I think is good for him as an actor, because I want to see him do roles that aren't just like, they're out of his comfort zone. So I think that's out of his comfort zone. I think where I feel like, ironically, like, you would think it's a very hard role to play, and I'm sure it is, but the Dune role he has, I feel like it's in his wheelhouse. Like, he has it in the bag, like, he can do it. Whereas, like, Wonka, I feel like it's try a little bit, like, to find something different in his repertoire and bring it out. But yeah. Zian, what do you think about the Wonka trailer?
I think it was all right. I think Samir really hit the nail on the head by saying that he's acting like somebody who's acting like he's, like, you know, out there or not. But he doesn't really show it much. Like, he doesn't come off as, like, the eccentric guy that Willy Wonka is, or, like, he'll become or whatnot. And, like, there's, like, a certain, like, I don't want to say sinister, but, like, a mystery around Willy Wonka that, like, you don't really know what's even going on inside his head in, like, the original movie and whatnot, like, the type of character he is. And I don't think Timothée Chalamet is really playing him that way. He's playing him more of, like, a more more sincere, grounded, I guess, in quotes, version of him, where maybe he'll journey into more craziness or not. But I think it looks all right. I don't think it looks too good. It looks kind of like, I mean, I don't know what Jingle Jangle is, but it looks kind of just like almost like a very generic Disney-esque movie. It doesn't feel like they're really going out there, or like the character is not being done eccentric enough where it feels like, yeah, he's like this just crazy guy in this world of these other people, because that's the way it seems in like the original film or even like the Johnny Depp version, where like everybody's living a normal life except this one crazy chocolate billionaire guy who lives in his like factory of crazy stuff going on, magical stuff. So like, I don't feel as much of that here, even though they kind of said that, yeah, he has magic and whatnot, but maybe the movie will be good. The trailer is just all right, though.
I disagree just on the fact that I don't think it's a Disney movie. I think if Disney made the same movie, it'd be quite worse. I think there's a sense of actual production design here. Like, I can, when I watch the trailer, I see, like, yeah, the CGI is
100%. Most of the trailer was in just that one square.
Yeah, that looks good, though. Like, the square was wrong. It's like the whole movie. The thing is, actually, they made the square instead of just, like, they're standing in a green screen room. And that goes afar. That goes far. I know the bar is literally in hell right now. But, like, if the fact that they're not standing in a green box, and I can tell they're not standing in a green box, is a pretty big thing. So I'm giving them credit for that. Like, it looks like they actually tried. And I like the
costume. It'll be good. It'll be good if, like, by the end, society, like, hates him. It's, like, against him, you know?
Society. Bro said society's gonna.
Yeah, I want them to be like, you can't be here. That's why he has to take his time to shut him and go elsewhere. You know,
that's what's gonna be good. It's gonna be like a tragic story, by a guy who wants to be a chocolatier, and in the end he succeeds, but at the cost of his soul. That's the movie. The
loaf is his soul. When I was watching the trailer, I didn't think it'd be like something crazy, thematically deep or something. Like, I feel like they're gonna stray away from that. Just make him like a quirky guy who makes chocolate. You know.
Yeah, but then where are you going with it then? Like, how do you get to the point A to point B? And why would you get Timothy for a role like that then? If you brought him, you got to do something with it.
Timothy, they just need him for the look. Yeah. With the hat.
Maybe. Speaking it's of just,
hat, you mean, like, he was dressed like Gonzo from, like, the Muppets movie?
Yeah, because I know. My, like, brain's short-circuiting. What are you talking about? Yeah, because he dressed like Chocolatier. Yeah, Chocolatier. Robotic Uzi says Willy Wonka ain't gonna transcend into a supervillain. If they did, it'd be a 5 out of 5 movie. Is this movie coming out next year or this year?
I think no it's coming out this year, but I don't know. Yeah, it's coming out this year.
Yeah, it seems like a good movie.
This because people made the joke movie about this in Napoleon, you know? Yeah, it's coming out December 15th.
Oh yeah, the next big war, Napoleon versus Wonka. Did you guys see the Napoleon trailer? I didn't have it as a topic list because it kind of came and went from a social standpoint, so I didn't think it was big enough.
I didn't see it, but Joaquin, he's always good, except Bo's afraid, and I'll fly watching.
I was okay. I thought it was weird. Maybe I'm just misremembering the trailer that he was talking in his regular Joaquin Phoenix voice, but everyone around him is talking in French. Like, why isn't he also doing the accent? And maybe he just can't do it, but I don't know.
Listen, it's like Simba's talking to you in English, but in the movie they're talking to each other in lion voice, you know?
No, but everyone else, it's more like Assassin's Creed 1 where, like, just Altair's talking in an American accent, everyone else is Arab around him. It's like that.
Yeah, he probably just can't do a French accent.
Then why'd you hire him?
Hey, he's such a good actor. Why not
hire him? I will say, I'm not doubting Ridley Scott. This guy makes multiple bangers, so I can see him doing it. It's just, we'll see. You know? So did you see the
I have not seen the trailer, but if it's not Jingle Jangle vibes, I don't want to see it.
And before we get to the topic, what score did you give Jingle Jangle? Because I've never seen it, but maybe if you tell me the score, maybe I'll go see it.
I don't remember, but I know it has a 90% on Rotten Tomatoes, but only 77 reviews.
Jingle Jangle, I'm checking it right now. Jingle Jangle, A Christmas Story.
Yeah, that's why. It feels like a holiday movie. This one could be like a holiday movie. Like, they're going to market it as that. Like, this is a Christmas movie to watch.
I'm just more curious why you watch this movie.
I've never heard the existence of this movie until now.
I saw it on Netflix once and I was like, yo, this is like a banger.
I'm gonna put the picture up, Zane, so you can just see what I'm talking about. I'll watch anything. This is Jingle Jangle.
No, I swear this is Wonka straight up. This is what it looks like.
I'm just shocked that you watched this movie, but it's fine.
You gotta watch it.
Maybe I will. All right, let's move from that to our final topic of the stream, and that's Superman Legacy and the multitude of new castings. By the way, if you're curious why are we getting so many castings, it's literally because of the strike. Once again, we're talking about the main topic overarching is the strike and how it's delaying everything. But for Superman, the strike also affects multiple things because they've announced 4 big castings in a row, as now it's just me and Samir. 4 big castings in a row, and you got to help me, Samir, not to butcher these names. Anthony Carrigan as Metamorpho, Eddie Gathegi as Terrific, Nathan Fillion as Guy Gardner, and Isabella Merced as Hawk Girl. So if I butchered any of your names, I apologize. Anthony Carrigan, obviously, you've seen him in a couple of shows. He's been in some DC things as well. He was in Gotham. What is this noise? Where's it coming from?
There's a parade out now.
In the rain? And then Eddie is Mr. Terrific. He was in X-Men, I think, one of the X-Men movies, First Class. Nathan Fillion, we know him. He's been in a lot of James Gunn movies, so James is bringing him back as Guy Gardner. And then Isabella played Dora the Explorer in the reboot as Hawkgirl. So I'll get an image because these names are just names. I'll put images next to them. Here's the whole cast. Sorry for the image not being as great quality as it should have been. But what do you think about this group, the Superman Legacy cast starting to shape out? Zian, I'll go to you first. I'll go last on this one. What do you make of the Superman casting? Like, where's this movie going for you?
It's going downhill for me, unfortunately, because I have no problem with the casting or them having introducing all these new characters in the universe. I think it's better for it to have like a nice big universe of characters. I have no problem with that. But I think you're just, why are you wasting this first Superman movie to introduce these side characters? Because it doesn't make any sense. I don't know. Like you said, I don't know if they're going to be like their own Justice Society thing version in this movie. But that only makes me think of Black Adam, which makes me think of Superman worse. So, like, I don't know what they're doing with this movie. I don't know, James Gunn, I don't know if that was real or not. Did he say that they're still focusing on Superman Lois? They're the main characters. Yeah. And they're not going to, like, the movie's not going to be focused on these other characters. But I don't know. I honestly don't trust a thing he says. So I think they're going to hinder the movie by overloading these characters to too many people. It should have been just a pure Superman experience of like this one alien this time. I like the way Zack Snyder did it where Superman's introduction kind of brought everybody else. I know they're not doing that because it's a more established universe and now Superman's the new guy compared to the other people who are already there. But even still, I don't want them all crowding up screen time in this movie when it should just be about Superman and Lois and his side characters. I don't want to see Metamorpho doing things in a Superman movie, you know? Like, why take his screen time away from the main characters? So I'm against that.
So I have a lot to say. A lot. So let me start just from point A to point B. So I'm with you on the point where it feels overstuffed. It feels like there's a lot going on. And I agree. I also prefer Superman being the leader, the bastion of superheroes, and everyone follows his lead. Here, they're on the opposite. We're like, it's kind of like The Boys universe. I mean, you guys, the show The Boys, where it's like superheroes are everywhere. It's a rut. There is no system in place. Yes, there is Justice Society of America, which is what this group is, but there's no true morality. So Superman's is gonna be this like Boy Scout who's showing up in a world where all superheroes are. There's no true good guy. So Superman's gonna show and be like, well, like, you know, to show everyone a better way. And by the end of it, they're going to look at Superman like he's the guy. Like, and I can see that working. I can see that being, that's not, well, as compared to Black Adam. Black Adam was already a super anti-hero who was like killing everyone. And then the Justice Society is like, you can't kill. And that was the story. I guess it'll be the opposite where Superman's going to look at them and be like, you can't do this. And why are you doing it this way? Right. And the way James Gunn is describing it, you know, like a bit of a workplace origin story where it's like Superman has two jobs, you know, and when he's with when he's Clark Kent, he's gonna be with Lois and Jimmy and Perry, and when he's Superman, he's gonna be dealing with all these guys and like how they react to him, and then he's gonna probably have problems with them, like, oh, this is not how I was raised, this is not how I do things, and etc. And James Gunn shared this photo last year when he first signed on as CEO, and he showed this photo, and now when you look back at the castings, I think this is what he pictures his DCU to be, which doesn't sound horrible. Like, it's like this, like, everyone is here, you know? And Superman's going to be the leader, but the young leader. Now, remember, this is not Superman's origin story. Superman's in year 3. So you can make a case that when Superman meets these guys, it won't even be like, oh, who are you? It's going to be like, I already know you, but I don't agree with you. Or I have an invite to Justice Society, but I'm not joining the Justice Society. And I don't want to get into, like, rumors. Obviously, Grace Randolph put some stuff on Twitter, which may or may not be a spoiler, so I don't want to get too much into it, but apparently some of the plot will be Middle East focused, and you can make a case of a little political movie. Once again, this drives all the comparisons we already knew, which was that Superman versus the Elite is what they're going with, and apparently the whole idea of the Authority being this movie was just a red herring. It was just James Gunn throwing everyone off. In reality, there is no Authority in this movie. The Justice Society will kind of be the Elite. And remember, there's no villain right now, so the way the movie's kind of being paired is it'll be Superman and Lois, Lex Luthor uncast right now. There is rumors that they offered Daniel Craig the role, which could be interesting. And then this Justice Society dealing with problems in the Middle East, and how is Superman going to be like the one guy, you know?
The one, like, just before Samir goes, I think the one thing that, 2 points actually. First, the fear with that is that, yeah, you can do it the right way, which is how they did it with the Elite, or you can do it the bad way, which is Wonder Woman 1984. So that's one side fear. Hopefully they do it the right way. Second thing is that I don't get why, out of all the characters, Hawk Girl, this alien, would care so much about the political nature of, like, you know, the Earth and stuff like that. Like, oh yeah, let me listen to Justice Society, U.S. government, you know, regulate the world. Why does an alien character care so much? You know,
he just
the other ones makes sense. Even Guy Gardner makes sense.
The, like, the way they're pitching it, the way I understand, Mr. Terrific's gonna be the main guy. Like, he's running the ship, and the rest are his teammates. And you can just, you know, the jokes play themselves. Like, they're gonna, Guy Gardner is gonna be, you know, his typical, you know, guy and whatever it is. You know, so Samir, I'm gonna go to you now. And we've been rambling off and off, but number one, what do you think about this new group of castings? And then the quick pitch that I'm telling you the movie's gonna be. Do you think this has the potential to actually be fire, or are you thinking not? It might be a bit much that James Gunn doesn't have the skill to pull this movie off.
Skill issue. I feel like the way they brought it out. It kind of reminds me of Black Adam, the way Dion said, and that makes it seem worse for me. I mean, they were kind of cooking with the cast or the rumored cast for Lex Luthor, and then they announced these castings, which I thought was not like a good direction to go in. As far as the cast themselves, I think Isabella Merced is all right as Hawkgirl, and Mr. Terrific. But the other two, I don't know about these. I don't know about these guys. I don't know why they're in the movie. I feel like it's just James Gunn throwing his pals into the movie, and like he wrote them in to have his pals cast or something. Unless they have like a big role for the political story, the political aspect of the story, or what you were saying, I feel like it'll. I feel like we'll have to see. I don't know.
Yeah. Again, think the boys. This kind of mindset of like how superheroes act and how Superman's going to be this, like, he's going to change everything, you know? And then it's good. This, and it's important that Batman's probably also in this universe, though I have a theory on Batman, and that's that this whole thing about Batman Braving the Bold, I think it's just like, it could be a fake movie. I don't even know. It might not even be a movie. I think they're just saying to the cast, here's the actor, here's the director. But I think after seeing The Flash, they could just cancel this movie and just pray to God that Matt Reeves says, give us Pattinson, because I will say, and I agree that Matt Pattinson should stay away from this universe just in case, but conceptually, I can see Robert Pattinson with the Superman. I can see it. I can see that fit. I think it's an interesting fit.
So, it'll be perfect, but they have to have the same mindset. Like, it has to be them against the world, you know? Like, they believe in the same things.
True,
they believe the same way, and like, it's like, the others are like, yeah, kill, do this, do that, but then Superman and Batman are like, no, you have to have like a code. You have to do it a certain way. It'll be very good.
You might be cooking.
I want Batman to be like, oh yeah, Metamorpho and Man Bat. Let's make the Outsiders and like their version of the DC. You know?
Yeah.
But you might do that drop too, and I'm gonna hate that.
But what if you're cooking? What if you're saying that? Imagine Pattinson, Batman, and Superman. They're like, yo, this is just society. We're not about that. Let's start the Justice League. You know, like, we'll do our own thing. You know, and we'll make our own group and find Wonder Woman and all these people.
They would be cooking that way, but I don't think they can pull it off.
Look, when I see just this image, I feel like there's a lot of potential. Like, I can see, like, if this is what DC is going to look like in 10 years of all these established heroes, and in this group, an unnatural amount of these heroes are already on film now. Swamp Thing's in there. He's getting a movie. The whole idea of the Justice Society and Mr. Terrific and Metamorpho, they're in this image, you know? And we might get a very classic Superman, and then obviously everyone's getting rebooted, so we're going to get a classic Wonder Woman and a new Batman as well. But if that Batman is Pattinson, I don't know. What might be value? But then again, why say might be value? I have so little faith in this leadership that I feel like Matt Reeves should just stand firm and be like, nah. Because just in case, if it does end up being garbage, he keeps his universe separate, you know?
Yeah, and then it scraps this whole very bad Damian Wayne idea, who's in the picture, which only makes me less interested in whatever Batman they're doing.
Well, they want an older Batman, but in hindsight, I don't want an older Batman. I want a Batman who's the same as Superman's age, and they together are like, we can find a better way to do this, you know, and make an actual world's finest movie, you know?
Yeah, it makes no sense to have an older Batman.
Again, yeah.
They could literally even make a Public Enemy movie where then the Justice Side, everybody's coming after Superman because they think he killed Lex or whatnot, and only Batman's on his side. That would be so good in live action, but they don't have the vision.
I mean, they could have the Vision. I don't know if they will have the Vision. You know, like they could. This is a fresh start. That you do so many.
They don't have the Vision if you have a Batman whose son is just as old as Superman.
Yeah, I don't want that. I want a young Superman and a young Batman, like coming into a DC universe that's already in the shambles and then fixing it. You know. Yeah.
I need the Prime. Prime Batman, Prime Superman. Prime
Superman. Yeah, it'll never happen because apparently James Gunn wants another old Batman. Like I thought. People didn't like Ben Affleck's Batman being sold. Now they do, I guess. I don't know.
Terrible idea.
Yeah. DC's in the gutter. Can't do. But, and then Blue Beetle's coming out next month. No trail. Like, it's been, oh my God, it's going to make $2 in the box. I feel bad. But it's like, but we'll see. You know, apparently just the character is part of the DCU, but not the movie. So,
yeah, you know, get him on the roster. Get
he's like, in the roster. Yeah.
Thing in there, you know, as an option for the future, but then that's it.
But the movie itself isn't canon, just character.
You know, I kind of don't mind that because the movie doesn't look that great, and the casting looks all right. Like he looks like he can do the role.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. And then they asked James Gunn on Threads like about Nathan Fillion because he obviously played a character in the Suicide Squad. He's like, well, I thought the Suicide Squad was canon, and he said, no, only the canon starts with Superman Legacy. So I wonder what that means. Like, I feel like maybe he is the double thinking after Flash. Like, wait a minute, maybe there's no point in bringing any of my people. That being said. Peacemaker season 2 is coming out. There's a Amanda Waller TV show coming out. So unless they are just actors who also made it to the new universe, but aren't like whatever. We'll see. All right. So last tiny thing. This is just our joke topic of the day, and it's not even like a question. But let me see what one thing Gud said. Gud, robotic Uzi. He said Robert Pattinson wouldn't fit in this universe because his Batman's darker, more gloomy, but his universe seems more the bright classic universe. And you can't cast one good actor with trash. Unless that one good actor is leading the fray. But
the only thing is that the problem is that because it's an established universe, like you said, that all these other heroes exist already, and now Superman's like kind of joining the public sphere of it. That doesn't work in a world where the Batman is doing his thing. So like I want them to just like pluck the character out with like him and Gordon, his supporting cast, but like just say that yeah, he did these things. But then don't dive too much into it because then it messes up Matt Reeves' films. Just like take the main pieces and just put them in the new universe, but then don't explain it too much.
You said Public Enemies. I feel like the best example is actually Superman, Batman, the world's finest episode of the animated series where like Batman did kind of get plugged out and he showed up in Metropolis, you know? And honestly, the way I'm understanding it, James Gunn's playing the very long game with Lois and Clark and them revealing the identity. I think they're gonna keep that going for a few movies rather than just like one movie and already saying
I think that's better.
Honestly. You can play around with the dynamics of the love triangle between Clark, Lois, and Superman, and then even throw in other characters if you have to like make it more interesting.
Yeah, and then she drops both and the second Bruce shows up.
And that's yeah. Superman was down bad that whole episode, but last topic is a joke topic, and that's just not a joke, it's just that you know our boy LeBron is changing from 6 to 23. Very quick reaction. Samir, what do you think about this change? Are you with it? And do you think his legacy now he's always been over 23, really, over the 6? Or was that always the case?
I'm telling you, this guy is such a drama queen. He's just doing it for the hype, for the narrative. Hey LeBron. Narrative? Bro, this guy.
No, wasn't it that they league-wide retired number 6 or something?
No, they did. But anyone who's currently wearing 6 could have kept wearing it until they retired. And then it'll not be used again. So LeBron had a choice to keep wearing 6, but he went back to 23.
He would,
and I feel like his Lakers era is disjointed. Like, I don't like that. Should have been one number per era, and he should have stuck 23. When he changed to 6, should have stuck with 6. Now it's like he came to the Lakers at 23. He won a championship wearing 23, which means he guaranteed number 23 getting retired, right? But then he broke Kareem's record in 6, and now he's going back to 23.
He won both retired.
Is it safe to say he's not getting both numbers retired with Lakers? It's not going to happen now. Like, I don't see how. Don't know why.
Which they'll just retire 23. Yeah.
Because 23 won a championship, but then that's what matters. Him passing Kareem is more a personal aesthetic goal, right? It's like a personal thing he did. That didn't really benefit the Lakers. That just benefited himself. If he won a championship with 6, then I'd be like, you gotta retire both. But now he's back 23, it's just 23 is gonna be his number.
I mean, I don't know. Because like a Lakers guy eclipsing another Lakers guy, you know? So it's like.
Yeah, but I feel like only Kobe gets the honor of having both numbers retired, you know?
That's true.
And then 23, like LeBron will get his number retired in 3 different locations, so that's already big enough. Like he gets
20, but he'll get number 6 retired in Miami.
Yeah, he'll get six. He'll get his sixth retired in Miami, which is a double retirement because six is already league guard retired. But LeBron will get his six in the Raptors anyways with Miami. He'll get a 23 in Lakers and 23. I think it's interesting. But I agree with Samir. It just seems unclean. Like it's
how
like,
Mike Malone is like turning over.
It's an unclean way for LeBron to end his. No, it's more that
Mike Malone's kicking rocks right now that they're not talking about his championship.
No, but it's more that LeBron, like, I feel like his narrative is so pitch perfect that it's the few times where I'm like, wait, what are you doing? Like, this is not narratively correct from your normal standpoint. Either way.
Somewhere along the lines, Mike Malone's going to be like, yeah, we beat them so hard, he had switch numbers or something.
You already know. You already know. Either way, what do you guys think about Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning? Let us know your comments in the below and join the debate. From myself, from Zion, from Umar, and from Samir, we're the Faruqi Bros. And we'll see you next time.
Peace out. From Umar? All
right. From Samir.